Father, we worship you. We thank you so much for this beautiful day that you have made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. Thank you, Father, for this privilege you have given us to gather. Lord, even in a peaceful atmosphere to hear your word. Lord, as we go into your word this morning, I do not go in my own confidence or strength or preparation, but I humble myself, confessing my sins before you, and I ask for mercy afresh. I ask for your grace. I ask for the help of the Holy Spirit and the covering of my spiritual appearance to rest upon me mightily, to enable me to teach, to preach, to minister effectively as an oracle of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your words go out of me today like streams of living water, bringing comfort, helping us to be edified in the name of Jesus Christ. Help me, Lord, as you help, anoint me afresh to bring out or treasure of your word things both old and new as a scribe instructed on the kingdom in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, to ask for grace to redeem the time, Lord, not to say things that are necessary as was what goes for. Let me back with your power, power to heal, power to deliver, power to break jokes, power to enable us to more conform to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for all you do, and we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for this beautiful morning. We are grateful to God for this privilege to be gathered to hear God's word. It's a privilege. It doesn't happen everywhere or all the time, but we thank God we are gathered here this morning. We have been in the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy, for some time now, and we completed verse chapter 1. But let's go back to do a brief recap on 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20. Please give it to me in the Amplified so we can redeem the time. Give it to me. Paul was talking about something he did to his son Timothy in Amplified. Let us read together. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I, Paul, have delivered to whom? Satan. Why? In order that they may do what? Be disciplined by punishment, and also learn not to blaspheme. We need to read it one more time. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander. That means there are more than two. But just pick those two people as a sample. And what did he say? He said, whom I, Paul, have delivered unto Satan. Why? In order that they may be what? Disciplined. He wanted God to discipline them. Come on, by what? Punishment and learn. Why? Not to blaspheme. You see, let me quickly rush through. These two guys, what they were doing in that church at that time, they were preaching heresy. They said that the resurrection had already passed. And Paul said in 2 Timothy, he said that they overthrew the faith of many. You see, either you preach that the resurrection has passed, or you preach that there is no resurrection, what is happening is what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, if there is no resurrection, then let me eat, and tomorrow we die. Do you think I'm a fool? You see, that is why, you see, if somebody comes now, for example, and starts preaching, God forbid it will never happen, that there is no perfection, then, you see, you overthrow the faith. Why are you fasting? You see, that is because you may say to yourself, why would God allow Paul to do this kind of thing? Why? Because this kind of preaching, which is common in the church today, it hinders people from fulfilling their purpose and destiny. That's why you find people, all they think about is how much they can get, how much they can make, and then die and go to heaven. Need-oriented. No, man-centered and entertainment-based gospel. So he said, I've delivered them to Satan, to discipline. Now, listen, that word discipline, to learn, that means there are two levels of this thing that is going to come. That means you see hope for Hymenaeus and Alexander. He said, I've given them just to discipline, and they may learn. That means they can change. So you can see the love of God in operation. It is not a destruction of the flesh. Are you following me? And then the second aspect I mentioned the other time, when he was talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and he said that the brother was committing a fornication with his mom, stepmother. And he said, and you guys were not ashamed. He said, deliver such one to Satan for the destruction of flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. That means that guy Paul will withdraw his covering, so to speak. Then Satan will come in, either through sickness or whatever, disease, or and kill that guy. How be it, his spirit will be saved in the day of the Lord. So at the end of the day, either is this kind of punishment or the other one, it is not the best. We should not pray to fall into that category. I even like Lot. But it is still an act of love. When to sit that way, say, because when we are, we deliver such a one to Satan, people are afraid. No, it's an act of love. So they don't perish in the end. The worst one is if God allows them to keep on doing that, they overthrow the faith of many, which is happening in the church today. And then at the end of the day, we'll get to a place whereby God said that there's no more repentance for them, that they go and die and go to hell. It talks deep. So it's an act of love. Are you following me? And the best example I just mentioned, but is Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he was a very bad king. But there were people in that kingdom, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What did they do? He had a dream, he saw this tree, and you know, and they told him something. He said, this is by what? The decree of the watchers. And you know that story? That tree was cut down, but they left a stump. It's the same thing we're talking about here. Praise the Lord. So as it happened in the Old Testament, it also happened in the New Testament. And God has given that authority to certain people, his kings on Zion's holy hill. Those that have perfected the love of God in their lives. Because if you don't perfect your love, you can't do this. You deliver them to Satan to kill and to destroy. You say, like people say, they cast out Satan to Sihadesan. They want to finish them. But it's because of Paul's growth. The largest of his heart. He did this. And God allowed him. Praise the Lord. So let's go this morning to what we have for today. Let's go to our Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. We'll read from verses 1 to 5. In the KJV, please. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm so grateful. Thank you so much. Let's read together. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, and giving of thanks be made for what? All men. Let's say together, all men, Christian and sinner. Next verse. For what? Kings and for all that are in authority, that what? We may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Next verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For what? This is good. Let's say together, for what? This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Praise the Lord. Next verse. Next verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Who what? Let's go. Who what? Have all men to be saved and to also come unto the knowledge of the truth. Next verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For what? There is what? One God. Let's go. There is what? One God and also one mediator between God and men. The man what? Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Back up to verse 1. And let me take it a little at a time. I believe God wants to talk to us this morning. So pay close attention. What I have to say, I'm trusting God for His grace to get across. Paul said that I exhort, therefore, that first of all, why therefore? Pastor has taught us, when time you see therefore, you must see the reason why he was therefore. So if you back up to chapter 1, he was talking about his own life. He said, how I have received mercy and grace, being the worst of sinners, and God expended all long suffering towards me, you know, and that he got born again, and he counted me faithful to be faithful and put him into ministry. I now said he was the worst of sinners, but that God saved him. At that time, Saul was the worst person on the face of the earth. If you look at that scripture. But said God was long suffering. He showed abundant mercy, love, and grace. And he saved him. And I said something, but he said, and made him a pattern unto those that will believe unto life everlasting. You can put it on the board. See, unto life everlasting. Are you following me? So why therefore? He was trying to get the people to know that if God can do it for me, Paul, he can do it for you also. Through the avenue of prayer. Can you get the link? Is that what he said? He said therefore. That is, don't never give up on anybody. And you know, those that are listening to me, either on the internet or here today, if you're not born again, don't care whether you're an armed robber, whether you're Nebuchadnezzar, God is saying that, look at the life of Paul. God is not a respecter of persons. If you exercise honesty of heart, no matter what you have done, he will save you. Are you following me? And can put you into ministry, or let me put it this way, enable you to fulfill your purpose and destiny. Praise the Lord. Have I said therefore? So he said, let's go back to verse 1. It says, I exhort therefore that what? First of all. Let's say together. First of all. Let's again. First of all. What? Supplications. Secondly, prayers. Let's say together. Intercessions. And what? Giving of thanks made for all men. Say together. All men. Sinner and saints. Sinner and saints. For all men. Why didn't God say, pray for all men? Why did he go to the length of explaining? And it's like if you go to a restaurant and want to order for food, you're not going to say, give me food, sha. No, you say, you start mentioning the things you want there, you know, all these places we go to, put Nigeria, put Bokoto here, put some rice here, put Momo here. Why can't you just say, give me food? So why would God begin to name the ingredients of prayer? Because there are more than one. Why would it take the time to begin to name the ingredients of prayer? Pastor has been teaching us about whole stones. We'll come back to this later. Next verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He said, now it now begins in verse 2 to begin to show us the order. In verse 1, he says, let's mention those different kinds of prayers. If you notice, everything was put in plural, meaning it can be done in the understanding, and it can also be done in the spirit. Now it begins to list the order in verse 2. That even though you pray with all kinds of prayer for all men, but this is the priority for those in authority. Please follow me. For what? Kings. Let's read together. And for what? Kings. And for all that are in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all what? Godliness and honesty. That is the order. God wants us to pray for all men, Christian and unbeliever, because of Paul, that they raised up as a pattern, that they might come into the kingdom and fulfill their purpose. So we must never give up on any human being. And then I begin to list the order. I say, for kings, that is the priority. When I begin to pray with all kinds of prayer, it's pray for kings and for those in authority. When Paul was speaking here, in those days they had kings, you know, and all that. This represents the president of a nation, the governors, and those that God has set in authority. Also, it also applies to spiritual authority. Even, I dare say, that is more important than this one. Because if you pray for those in spiritual authority over you, automatically you pray for those in physical authority over you. Are you following me? Because the power flows from the head down. River of Ezekiel. It comes out from the temple and it goes into the nation. So he said that for all men. So, and he begins to explain to us, for those in authority, why? He says that we may lead. Let's say that we may lead. That we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Lord Jesus Christ said something in Mark chapter 11, 17. He said, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. We are getting at something today. The house we are talking about is not this physical structure. Talking about the body of Lord Jesus Christ, you and I, the universal church. So the universal church is expected to pray with all kinds of prayer for all men and for those in authority, spiritual and physical, in that nation. Very important. First, if only we put first things first, we'll not have the problems we have today. Most people, first of all, pray for their own needs and everything, and they forget that if there is no peace in the nation, they cannot enjoy the blessings that God has mentioned there. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Listen to me, folks. If you remember years ago in Rwanda, where they had this ethnic cleansing, nobody could go to church. God forbid there's civil disturbance today. How will you come to church? How will you go to that business? Remember their better years. Nobody could go out. And Paul said, look, what he means is this. If you don't pray for those in authority, you cannot lead a quiet and a peaceable life. That speaks about civil disturbance, rioting, ethnic cleansing, all this crazy stuff that is going on in the world. The church will be held accountable in that place. He said, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing to be trodden down, man. You are the light of the world. The church is the control center of every nation, the perfect church. So as the church goes, that nation goes. Thank God for pastor. Thank God for mommy. I'm not saying it out of to make you feel good, but thank them for the prayers they established for our nation, Nigeria. There was a time there was war on the right side in Africa, war on the left side. Anytime you go to our borders, this thing will stop. What would have happened? They did not do it. They have left their place of responsibility. Well, the
Listen to me. Why will what happen in Kano, Kaduna happen? If the church that God put there has stood their ground, things just don't happen. When you shirk your position of responsibility, the enemy comes in like a flood. And believe me, men of God will give an account. Mark my word. I'm not judging anybody, but it is a fact. To whom much is given, much is required. So there will be war, there will be genocide, there will be all kinds of things going on. But this is what we need to know. God doesn't want that to happen. The only way it will not happen is by people in authority like Paul that we read earlier on. And with a company of saints under them that understand purpose and destiny. And they pray for their nation. Satan does not rule and do what he wants to do, because that's how Satan hinders God's purpose. Pastor said some years ago, he said, what would have happened if Nigerian church had grown up at that time before the civil war? There would have been no civil war. There would have been no civil war. No coup at all. What would have happened if we did not pray in time of Abacha? We have been divided. Forget perfection. That's what he said. He said, in all godliness and honesty and quietness. Godliness. Bible talks about doctrine of God. You can't be talking about perfection when there is war. Lord will give us understanding. So, the aspect I want to mention is when we pray for spiritual authority, it does one important thing. It does a lot of things. One thing I want to see, it helps you. You see, when he quoted that, I said that we. So, if our own, it's our own self-enlightened interest when you pray for your authority. Don't do it religiously. He said, you see, God put it to me this way this morning. He said that it opens the valves of our heart so I can receive the life of God that flows from them. It is that prayer, if you do with an honest heart, that keeps the valves of your heart open. When you stop praying, or you do it with the wrong attitude, the valves begin to close. So the life that is flowing automatically from them can't flow in sufficient measure to you. From them to you. That's how it operates, like the umbilical cord that connects the baby in the womb to the mother. In fact, it even something happens now, umbilical, maybe it is twisted one kind, and the food and the nourishment can't flow, that baby will die. Or if it's not flowing in sufficient measure, that baby will not grow properly. So what I'm saying is very important. First of all, first things first, we pray for kings, for those in authority, that we, you and I, may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Are you following me? Paul said, when you are gathered in my spirit with the power of Lord Jesus Christ. God's always reminded him of that scripture. That's how the power flows to you when you pray for them. You open the valves. Because you see, the sin nature doesn't want to submit. I can tell you from experience. He wants to do his own thing. So when you pray and crucify your flesh and you begin to pray for them, I begin to pray for them, I begin to pray for them, that valve begins to open and open and open, that life can flow. That's how it happened to. From experience, I know. When it drops, I know. There's no other way. Now, how does this occur? Very important. It occurs from Satan in the air. The Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Verse 3 says that this is acceptable in the sight of God. No, before I go there, let me say something. When you don't pray for those in authority, you know how Satan operates. In very simple, Isaiah chapter 10 verse 1 says this. He said, woe unto them that make unrighteous decrees. You see, Satan begins to operate in the air if the church does not pray. And begins to move on the minds of those in authority. It doesn't matter if they are born again or they are not born again. And when it begins to move from the air, why? It begins to influence their thinking and their decisions. And they begin to make unrighteous decrees that will not enable you and I to live a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Case in point, Nebuchadnezzar. He wakes up one day and builds this idol. He said, everybody should come and be bowing down to that idol. The question I want to ask is, thank God for Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Bible says, oh king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Our God is able to deliver us, but if he does not, we still will not bow. The question I want to ask is this. Where are the other people? Was it only four people that they took to Babylon? So you can see the soil state of the church. Millions were taken to Babylon. That means they bowed. That means they bowed. The church at that time in Babylon bowed. Only Daniel, Shadrach, and Abednego did not bow. And we saw God stood with them. The second example is Esther. So you can see how Satan influences those in leadership to hinder you and I from fulfilling purpose and destiny. Quiet, peaceable life in all godliness. But I say, great is the mystery of godliness and honesty. You want to go and do business, you cannot do it because there's so much corruption. You can't be honest. Christians that don't learn to pray cannot be honest in business. Go and write it down. It is not possible. You will compromise. There's so much corruption in the land. I don't care if you give your tithes of mint, anise, and cumin, whatever that may be. If you don't pray enough, you don't know what to take and what not to take. You not be content. All prayer, not just prayer. All prayer. So we look at the example of Esther. Esther chapter 3, verses 8 to 11. We know the story. I put it on the board. When Haman went to meet the king Ahasuerus, and he said, because he hated the Jews, a type of the Christians, he said that the people that are not obedient to the law, you know that story, and he said that they should kill them. And look at what, you see, don't see Haman going to natural. It was Satan moving in the air through hatred and strife, moving Haman to go and meet Ahasuerus, and making that one not to think, to make an unrighteous decree that they should kill the Jews at that time, all the Jews. But we know the story. Thank God for Esther and Mordecai. Thank God for the Esther and Mordecai over time. They went on fasting and praying for some time, and they overcame that decree. Don't say they would have killed them all, and God would have been watching. We'll see as I continue. Don't say God will not allow me. Listen, many have died. How come Satan was able to kill John the Baptist? James, get into it, sir. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says that Herod desired to vex some Christians, and he stretched his hand, and he took James, and he killed James, an apostle. He killed James, an apostle of the Lamb. The first three killed them. What was God doing? Wake up, guys. The heavens and the heavens belong to the Lord, and the earth has He given to the sons of men. The responsibility is on our shoulders to pray for our leaders, spiritual and physical, or else Satan will take them and kill them. I'm not saying this to make you afraid, but it's a fact. But they smite the shepherd, and I will scatter the sheep. Why is He doing that? So that the purpose of God can be hindered or destroyed. Then He stretched forth His hand again and took Peter. But thank God, because they prayed without ceasing. They did what they prayed without ceasing. What would have happened if they learned the habit of prayer? First of all, like Paul said, not have killed James. But they were so much content to be doing miracles, signs, and wonders. It's not wrong. But they left the first thing. To pray for those in authority. So when Satan stretched forth his hand and he killed James, they woke up. And they began to pray. Without ceasing, that look, if this can happen and God kept quiet, then it can happen the second time and God will not say anything. All God will do is try to raise up another generation that will take that baton and move on. So James should not have died. So we see we need to wake up to prayer. It is enlightened self-interest. Acts 12, 5, you can put it on the board. Say, but prayer was made without ceasing for Peter. And God now moves supernaturally and opened the door to an angel. You know that story? And He brought Peter out. Now, how does Satan do this literally? Let's look at the scripture so we can understand. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 1. Talks about the prince of Tyros and the king of Tyros. There's a dual kingdom in operation in every nation. It's either the kingdom of God is being enforced or Satan is enforcing His kingdom. And with that, said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, next verse, Son of man, say unto us, the prince of Tyros, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, and I sit in the and I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas. Yet God now says, thou art a man. So they said the prince of Tyros is a man. The prince of Tyros is a man. Even though he thinks he's God, because you're a gentleman, you are a man, flesh and blood. Verse 11. Now the tone changes the same chapter. What does it say? It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, next verse, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyros. Say, prince of Tyros, king of Tyros. We are talking about the king of Tyros here. What does it say? Thus said the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum of some full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Next verse. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, Sardius. Look, there were three people in that garden: Adam, Eve, and Satan. Now let us eliminate to find out who is talking about. Adam was not clothed with Sardius. Adam did not have burial and all that stuff. Am I right or wrong? So we remove Adam and him. So we're not talking about Satan, the king of Cyrus. So he begins to operate in the air upon the prince of Cyrus to make unrighteous decree. Why? So that the purpose of God can be hindered. So that people of God will not be able to fulfill their destiny. At the end of the day, in most cases, he has succeeded. But God, by his grace and mercy, God has raised up a company of people that understand the times and the seasons and what Israel ought to do. I will not shirk their responsibility. Verse 3 of 1 Timothy chapter 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus, help me. It says that, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What is good? It is not the leadership that is good in the nation. He's talking about prayer. He says that there is a prayer that is good and acceptable in the sight of God. If you pray with petitions, supplications, thanksgivings, rejoicings, groanings, God is saying it is good and is acceptable in the sight of God. Remember when Cain offered up a wrong sacrifice, God was there, said, why would you be accepted? There's a prayer that is good and there's prayer that is not good. And simple logic, if you read, it says this is the prayer that is good. Praying with supplications, petitions, intercessions, giving of thanks. Said this one is good. So if it means you are not doing that, your prayers are not good. It is not acceptable, even though you are getting results. It's not every answer to prayer that is from God. The mystery of iniquity is already at work. Only him that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Many shall come to me in that day and say, I have not done this thing. I have not cast. He said, I will say, depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. I never knew you. Unacceptable prayer. Only 10% of the entire universal church is praying the way God wants us to pray. And there's still much work to do. That kind of prayer cannot be done effectively if there's no unity and love. Humility of heart, honesty of heart. So that prayer is good. Praise the Lord. So, verse 4 now begins to tell us the reason and the purpose. Follow the trend from verse 1. What does it say? It says, let's say it again. Who will do what? Have all men to be saved and to do what? To come unto the knowledge of the truth. Listen to verse 1. It says that supplications, prayers, intercessions be made for all men. It now mentions the purpose. Who will have all men? Say all men. Say all men. All men. All men. Not just you and I. All men. Let me tell you. God wanted Abacha to be saved and to enter perfection. That is why Paul said, one in every man, teaching every man, that we may present every man, perfect in Christ Jesus. That beggar you see on the street today, God wants him saved and to enter perfection. So you have a job in our hands. Two levels here. Who will have what? All men saved. Say born again. That is the starting point. And also what? All men. To do what? To come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth. Majority of the people in the church They have passed stage one. They are saved. But they are not falling after stage two. To come to the knowledge of the truth. What is the knowledge of the truth? Those guys say in the book of John chapter 17, verse 17. Says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. He also said in John chapter, what is this, Lord? Help me. 14, verse 6. So I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. Or no man can enter into perfection except by me. As you follow my example. So the first stage is to get born again. Second stage is to come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth of the word of God. John 17, 17. The second, that word knowledge is epignosis. The perfect, precise, exact knowledge of the Son of God. God wants all men. I keep saying it. All men. All men. You see, when you hear all men, and you think deeply, there is a responsibility for you and I. God wants all men. Now, if you do not take that serious, in your sphere of influence, are you neglected? You will know what passes through your hands. And God will ask. I give an example. God forgive me. Just comes to my mind. Years ago, when I just got born again, I woke up. I was praying. After my father died, and my mom was just traveled to her hometown. This is my mom, my grandmother on my dad's side. I was just a regular prayer to give an example of what I talked about, praying about supplication for all men. So when you pray like that in the spirit, you don't know who you are praying for. So we don't be under condemnation. We'll just keep praying like that. I follow me. But you see, I was praying. I had an all night. So by the time I got to the last morning prayer, I was tired. I said, God, I'm tired. I said, well, let me just manage and pray. So I prayed, As I kept praying, all of a sudden, the heavens opened. And Lord spoke to me. He said, tell your mom, when she gets to your hometown, to lead your grandma to Christ. I said, I understood. You know, when God talks, you understand. I said, God, I will go. I understood that assignment. It must not fail. But here my dad had just died. And my dad's mom, you know how she would feel, my grandma. As far as she was concerned, there was no point living again. So anyway, God told me, say, you're not going. Your mom has that assignment. You have done your own part with praying. And because my grandma wasn't educated, I wrote the sinner's prayer for my mom in Yoruba. And there was no GSM in those days. So I gave it to her. I said, Mommy, God has an assignment for you. When you get to the hometown, make sure you lead grandma to Christ, please. Our own plan was to go and just greet, you know, the family members and all that. Look at my dad's whatever that I left behind. That was, God had a more important purpose for her. So she went there. Before she came back, I said, God, I don't know whether she should do it or she will not do it. Maybe, you know, she can get down and get distracted. Anyway, she went and she came back. I said, the first time she came back, I said, Mommy, did you do it? She said, yes, I did it. She said, when I started, she hesitated a bit, but she agreed to pray. And I led her to Christ. And that was it. A week later, she went to a coma. She never came back. Prayer for all men. When you pray with all kinds of prayer in the spirit, you don't know what you are doing. What of if I wasn't praying? Or let me say, I don't pray many times. We're in the same boat. We sleep. Times we miss all night. But God wants us to move up and take it serious. So as I pray in the spirit, all kinds of prayer, you are praying for all men. And God will be saving some, delivering some, doing all kinds of things. Even beyond. Well, at times he may not tell you, but when you get to heaven, he may say, those are your prayers. I walk God that guy in. Are you following me? So let's take it very, very serious. Praise the Lord. So that aspect of the knowledge of the truth, what does it mean to come knowledge of the truth? And says, this is the covenant that will make out of Israel in those days. I'll put their laws in my heart, in their mind. They will no more say, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the greatest to the least to the greatest. That is God's purpose. Stage one, get born again. Stage two is come to the knowledge of the truth. This speaks about fellowship in the word of with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, in through the word of God that causes the reproduction of his character in your soul and in your body. And Adam knew Eve, and she conceived, and she gave birth to a child in his image. Stage one, get born again. All men. Stage two, for all men. Praise the Lord. So the ultimate purpose of God in having us pray for those in authority is to, first of all, create an atmosphere, an open heaven, so that we will be able to preach the gospel of the kingdom to every ethnos, then the end shall come. Pastor has been shouting and preaching that will break, rule, disciple nations. That is the pastor we are praying for all men. That is why we are praying with all types of prayer in the spirit. So if you are not doing that, you are hindering that purpose. Beginning, it says, do this for all men. In this verse, it says that he wants all men to be saved and to come to knowledge of truth. What is that saying? Is it discipleship of nations? The Great Commission says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the end of the earth, and then the end shall come. All nations, every ethnic group, tribe, and tongue must get born again and not stop there and move to perfection. It's time to go to the other side. That's the purpose of praying. So when we come to pray on Tuesday, don't say nothing is happening. We are fulfilling purpose and destiny, getting ready for the discipling of nations. We are to break, to rule, and to disciple the nations. Not again. It is not just pray anyhow. It's not just praying to understand. It's specified. So pray with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. Supplications, petitions. So God is not a fool. God does not waste words when he says we should do it. So be encouraged. When you are groaning and you don't feel like doing, just keep on doing it. The Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the same thing, said in the days of his flesh. When? He didn't say when it was convenient. When he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and it was hurting that he feared. If the master did it, he was who must do it. So we're not wasting time. We are fulfilling purpose and destiny. Praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. Until we do this, Psalm 24, verses 7 to 10, will never be fulfilled. Put it there on the board as I begin to close. It's a very short message. I'm going to stop. We're going to stand up and rededicate ourselves to prayer. Psalm 24, verses 7 to 10. Thank God we are doing it. But God wants us to hasten our steps. Pray with more understanding. Pray with an attitude of a visualize. Begin to see what is happening. When you are praying, you are co-laboring with God to save all men, to fulfill that purpose. Let's go. Lift up your heads, all ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Next verse. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Next verse. Lift up your heads, all ye gates. He's talking to the nations. We are yet to fulfill this. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Next verse. Who is this King of glory? So it says the second time. The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Selah. God wants the gates of the nations to be open. If it does not open, it can't come in. The breaker company, the Lord at the head of them, the man child company. Listen, if I come to your house, I can't open the door. I'll be a thief and an armed robber. You are the one that will open the door for me to come in. So it's the people in that nation that will open the door for the King of glory and those riding with him, conquering and to conquer to come in. So if they don't open that door to intercession, talking about the heavens now, the gates that speak of the heavens, it can't come in. If you notice, when Jesus Christ was being baptized, Paul said when he jumped, took him down, and he brought him up, he was praying. It was as he was praying that the heavens were open. If you don't pray, no heaven will open. With all kinds of prayer. That's the secret. I'm just saying the secret. That's how it's going to happen. They were in the upper room, they were in unity, they were fasting, and they were praying. What happened? Suddenly, the heavens opened. The Spirit of God came down. That is the same. It's not going to change. After, it's not going to change. So that is how the gates of the nations will be opened. So as we round off today, the next time by the grace of God, we're talking about in detail how to pray. Don't say I know it. There'll be some new things that God may drop to exhort us to prayer. So firstly, he must come in us before he goes to the nations of the world. In closing, the last scripture, Revelation chapter 20, verse 22. The same principle. If you don't open the gates of your heart, he won't come in. If people in that nation do not pray and open the doors of that nation, he won't come in. So you can see where there is a delay. It's not God that is delaying. He's ready to come. So he says there to you and I. Says Revelation 7. No. 3:20. Behold. Say it to God. Behold. I stand at the door. What door? And I knock. If any man will hear my voice. And what? Open the door. I, the Lord Jesus, will come into him. And I will sup with him. And you with me. That is the first stage. I believe many of us have opened the door of our hearts to me. We're in that process of going to pray. What does it mean to open the door of your heart? This means that when you open the door of your heart, it comes to you in perfection and fullness. So it's knocking. If it's knocking on the door of your heart today, and you have not opened it, please open it. Let him come in perfection and fullness. This is the first stage. So when it comes in you in perfection and fullness, then you now begin to pray. And when you pray, you open the heavens, then you invite him. Say, lift up your head. You see, you can't say lift up your head if you have not prayed. Satan will laugh at you. What head do you want to lift? When he's sitting over in your nation. When you have done praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit, I begin to say, you speak to the enemies in the gate. Lift up your heads, all you gates, and ye everlasting doors, be ye lift up. It is kings that sit at the gates, the elders of the land. Who are the elders of that land? It could be Christians, or it could be those that are not Christians, the enemy. But God wants to begin to speak to the enemy at the gate, especially after he prayed all kinds of prayer in the spirit. So he's knocking at the door of our hearts today, saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens, I will come in and I will sup with them and eat with me. That's what about being conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we do that, I begin to pray with all kinds of prayer to save all men. We can now speak to the enemies at the gates of the nations. I say, lift up your heads and everlasting Lord, be ye lift up and let the King of Glory come in. The Lord strong and mighty in battle. It is nothing for God to deliver the nations that are in trouble today, Iraq, in bondage, South Korea, North Korea. He needs the church that I need to preach the gospel of the kingdom. My house shall be a house of prayer for all ethnos. Remember, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that prayers, supplications, intercessions be made for all men. All men. Second verse, for those in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life. And that gives us a reason later on that God will have all men to be saved and also to come to the knowledge of the truth. How will it be on that day when everything's over? And you and I stand behind the pastor and mommy. I'm not being religious. And they say, okay, yes, you and your sons, you took charge of Nigeria. Then God begins to show us things that Satan wanted to do that we don't even know. I would have bothered in the spirit because you decided to leave your work on time to come and pray on Tuesday. You decided to stop and put things aside for the kingdom of God. As a message I'm preparing. It says that some were made eunuchs from birth. Some were made eunuchs of men. Natural. But some have made themselves what? Eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. To see his kingdom come and it will be done. Let us pray. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Sorry. Forgive me. Forgive me, Father. Confess my sins. The Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways, reclothe us in our rightful minds, in pure and life thy service find. His deeper reverence praise, in deeper reverence. Spoken to us. Let's all be encouraged. We're on the right path. We're doing it. We may not be doing it perfectly as we ought to. But what God wants us to know is, first of all, believe that it is the truth. And then begin to practice. God does not demand immediate perfection, but He demands us to begin to practice. A just man may fall 7 times. God will raise him up. So don't be under condemnation. But what God wants us to know is that you and I are on the right path. And is pleased with us because we are doing it, endeavoring to fulfill His purpose on the earth, that all men might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Put one hand on your heart and use that hand to heaven. Say, Heavenly Father, we confess our sins and so we're clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of your purpose of saving all men, even the discipleship of the nations through praying with all types of prayer in the Spirit. I come to covenant with you afresh to be faithful to this cause and to take my prayer life more seriously than I've ever done before. I receive your mercy. I receive your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in tongues. In Jesus' name. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Praise the Lord.